like tonight to turn to the book of First Chronicles. Book of First Chronicles. Chapter 29. First Chronicles. Chapter 29. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 22. Then we'll be reading some other scriptures by way of background. So we'll be reading more scripture tonight than we normally do. But I'd like to read first 22 verses. Begin reading with verse 1. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx, stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for the things of gold, and the things and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and the rulers of the king's work offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. The Lord is thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days in the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered of these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow, after the day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, and their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be priest. By way of background, it was David's desire to build a house for the Lord. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, if we turn there, 1 Chronicles 22, notice verse 3 through verse 5. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar to David. And David said, Solomon, my son is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. David prepared abundantly, that is, to build the temple. He confided in his son. Notice in verses 7 and 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. So David is telling his son that I wanted to build this temple. It was my plan to build this house for the Lord. But the Lord said that I would not be allowed to build this house, but instead Solomon, thy son. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David assembles the people, and he begins to give counsel to the princes of the people. In verse 1, David assembled all the princes of Israel. In verse 2, then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and hath made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. And then he proceeded to give the pattern of the tabernacle or of the temple in verses 11 through 19. He went on to say that everything was to be made according to the pattern. We see in verse 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. And he goes on, he mentions, he gave him the pattern of the porch, he gave him the pattern of the houses and the treasuries and the upper chambers and the inner parlors and the place for the mercy seat. And he gave the pattern for the courts and the chambers, and he gave the pattern for all the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the Lord that would go on in that temple. But again, the point is, everything was to be made according to the pattern. And then we come to verse 19, and he says, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. He's saying, I had the desire in my heart to build a house for my God. But God said, no. Because I have been a man of war. And the reason David was a man of war was simply because he did what God told him to do. He fought the battles that God sent him in to fight. And you would think that perhaps David would be upset or David would be bitter. But no, he accepts the will of God. And he realizes that it's God's timing and it's God's will for Solomon his son to build the temple. And then we come to our text in chapter 29. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 28, he turns and he speaks to Solomon. He encourages Solomon to be strong and not to fear and to go on and build the temple. Then we come to chapter 29, and David again speaks to the congregation. And this 29th chapter records an event in the time of Israel, really when their spiritual life was at its peak. The children of Israel were spiritual at this time. They were close to God at this time. And what we have here is a record of the day that God called a national assembly and challenged the people to give generously to the building of this house of God. What we have here in 1 Chronicles 29 is a call to consecration. He said there in verse 5, he called upon the people to consecrate themselves unto the Lord. Now, consecration is simply means to set apart. So David was calling upon the people to set apart themselves and to set apart everything in their lives for the Lord. The word consecrate means to reserve or to devote to a sacred purpose. It conveys the idea of giving entirely to the Lord. It conveys the idea of complete surrender to the Lord, of being totally for the Lord. And that's what we have here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And all through the Scriptures, of course, there is a call to consecration. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, concerning the saved, we read that we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him. But unto Him. I don't think that we've ever fully understood the extent of those words. Unto Him. Unto Him. Unto Him. Everything about my life, everything about your life is to be unto Him. And I mean everything. We need to get a grasp of the extent, of the degree of unto Him. This requires consecration. If we are to live our entire lives unto Him, then we have to be set apart for the Lord. And that's what David here in 1 Chronicles 29 is issuing a call to consecration. I want to speak tonight on the marks of consecration as we see them here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The first thing we want to notice is in verse 1, a consecrated person must recognize a supreme purpose. Notice the last part of verse 1, you have the phrase, "For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." That's the key. That's the key. The consecration. That's the key to setting ourselves apart for the Lord. That's the key to being totally for Him. Living totally for Him. Herein is the reason why God's people do not set apart themselves. Why so many of God's people do not reserve themselves for the Lord. Why so many do not devote themselves to the Lord. They do not surrender themselves to the Lord. They do not recognize this truth. And the truth is, not for man, but for the Lord God. That's it. Once we understand that truth, once we get a hold of that truth, my life is not for man, but for the Lord. Everything that we do, not for man, but for the Lord. Again, this is the key to consecration. So, we ought to do what we ought to do, not for man, but for the Lord. We ought to be what we ought to be, not for man, but for the Lord. If God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. Not for yourself, not for anybody else, but simply for God. And David here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 is saying, we want to build this house. This house will not be for man. It'll be for the Lord. It'll be for God. No one will ever be consecrated to the Lord who does not grasp this truth. And the truth is simply this, and we've said it many times, it's not about us. It's about Him. As soon as you realize that life is not about you, as soon as you realize that life is about Him, you will begin to consecrate yourself to Him. And only then can we have a right perspective. The reason many today refuse to consecrate themselves unto God is because their perspective is all wrong. Because they begin with self, and God is secondary. But we see here it's not for man, but for the Lord God. So we need to understand that. And a consecrated person is a person who recognizes that they have a supreme purpose. And the purpose and the cause is God's cause. It's not our cause. It's not our purpose. Again, David could have very easily got upset, and most people would have. Here is a man who wants to build the temple. Here's a man who has served God for the most part faithfully through his years. And yet when it comes time when David wants to build this temple, God says, no, you're not going to build it. Now that would have upset most folks, but not David. Because David at this time realized it's not for man. It's for the Lord. It's not about David. It's about God. And notice in verse 2, a consecrated person, once you realize that it's not for man, but it's for the Lord God, then you're going to have the right effort. Notice verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. You read through 1 Chronicles 29 and you'll see several times he repeats that phrase, my God. You see, that's all David is seeing right now. My God. My God. He's not seeing himself. He's seeing God. And he says here, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. That takes us back to the last statement of verse 1. This house is not for man, but it's for the Lord. And because it's for the Lord, I have prepared with all of my might. I have given my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind, because I realize it's for Him. That's what a consecrated person does. He has a right perspective. And because he has a right perspective, he puts forth a right effort. Why is it today that so many of God's people make very, very little effort and are satisfied with the very little effort they make in the service of God because their perspective is all wrong. It's not about them, it's about Him. But once we get that right, now we're ready to work with all of our heart. We see in verse 3 that a consecrated person has the right interest. Notice the beginning of verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. It's not for man, it's for the Lord. He says he has given all his effort for this house, and now he says, I have set my affection to the house of my God. His interests were in the direction of God. He said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. Where do your interests lie? Where do your interests lie? Where do your affections lie? The answer to those questions are correspondent to our purpose in life. If our purpose in life is for Him, that's where our interest will lie. That's where our affections will lie. But if our purpose in life is us, that's where our interests will lie. That's where our affections will lie. Notice fourthly, in verses 3 through 5, a consecrated person personally gives the best that they have. David, again, backing up, realized that it was not for man but for the Lord. Because of that, he put forth effort. He prepared with all his might. Because of that, his interest was in the direction of God. And then he gave the very best that he had. Verse 3, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Remember back in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, he made preparation. And now he's saying, I've given over and above all of the preparations that I have made. And then he mentions what it is that he's given there in verse 4. And then in verse 5, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And then after he said that, he asked that question, and who then is willing to consecrate his service today unto the Lord? But my point here is that he gave in verses 3 and 4 and verse 5 that he gave the very best that he had. David says, to the best of my ability, I have made provision for the house of my God. Why is it today that so many, we all do, why is it that we so often fail to give God our very best? Why is it that we think that God should be satisfied with leftovers, with seconds? Is it not because we have a wrong perspective, that we have not fully grasped for Him, not for us, but for Him? God deserves our best. And even after we've given God our best, we're still unprofitable servants. Notice in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, keep a mark there in 1 Chronicles 29. But in Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6 through verse 8, he says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name, or thought lightly of his name?" And then he answers the question. He says, "You offer polluted bread upon mine altar." In other words, you don't give the best that you have. You offer that which is polluted unto my altar. And you say, "Wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil?" He's saying, you're offering me that which is useless. You are not offering me thy best. Is that not evil? Is what he's saying. Offer it now unto thy governor. Go ahead, take it to the governor. Take your blind and your lame sacrifices to the governor. Does he want them? Of course not. Is he going to be satisfied? Of course not. Should God? Should God be satisfied with our leftovers? And this was a problem with the children of Israel. He says, offer now unto the governor, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. David, what he's saying here in 1 Chronicles 29 is, I've given my best. I have consecrated the very best that I have to build the house of the Lord. And that's what a consecrated person will do. A consecrated person is not interested in mediocrity. We should never be satisfied with spiritual mediocrity. Never. We ought to always want to give God our very, very, very best. The best that we have. The best of our lives. The best time of our life. A consecrated person. One who realizes it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. The person who has grasped that truth has no problem giving God the very best. And then we take what's left over. Not vice versa. And it's so common today. It is for the Lord. Again, is the truth that we cannot get away from, stated there in verse 1. And because it is for the Lord, second best is not enough. Leftovers is not enough. Going through the motions is not enough. It's all for Him. Therefore, just going through the motions on Sunday morning, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evening, that's not enough. We can't be satisfied with just going through the motions. We have to be interested in truly worshiping the Lord. Why? Because it's for Him. It's for Him. So again, we keep going back to the truth that is stated there in verse 1. It's not enough to be fairly committed. It's not enough to be most of the way committed. That's not enough for a consecrated person. A consecrated person can never be committed enough. A consecrated person can never do enough. They always want to serve more. And David says, I've given my best. And nobody who has ever given God his best has ever regretted it. Never. You'll never regret it. You will live to regret the day of giving God seconds. Giving God what's left over. But you give God the best that you have, and you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it, and you'll never come out on the short end. Our talents may be few. Our talents may be small. But unto Him is due our best. If God has given you only one talent, you're to give Him your best. You're to give Him your best in everything that He gives you. Again, this leads to the question of verse 5. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who then is willing to set apart his life? We've lived many days. Sad to say, many of those days have been wasted. But all we ought to be willing to consecrate the rest of our lives unto the Lord. I may have failed yet miserably yesterday. Starting today, I can say from this point on, I'm going to consecrate everything I have to the Lord. But again, you will not do that until you come to the realization that it's not for man. It's for God. It's all for Him. We see also that a consecrated person will offer willingly to the Lord. We see in verse 5, and who then is willing? We see the word willingly again in verse 6. We see it again in verse 9, twice in verse 9. We see it again in verse 14 and again in verse 17. They were to give, and they were to give willingly. You see, there are three ways. There are three ways of giving. Number one, I have to. The law says I have to. That's one way of giving. Number two is I ought to. You feel an obligation. But number three is I want to. I want to. And you know who the happiest of God's people are? Those who want to serve Him. I don't go to church because I have to. I do feel an obligation. But that's not the reason. I want to. People say, you mean to tell me you have to go to church every Sunday? No, I want to. I want to. And we ought to want to. We ought to want to be fully consecrated to the Lord. We ought to want our lives to count for the Lord. We ought to want it to be entirely for the Lord. And then we ought to give everything that we have to Him, and we ought to do so willingly. Not because I have to. Not just out of a sense of obligation. You notice in verse 9 that with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. With perfect heart, that is, with a sincere heart. And the result of that was there in verse 9, then the people rejoiced for, or because, with perfect heart, they offered willingly unto the Lord. Rejoicing will come when we sincerely and willingly offer what we have to God. Don't be worried about what you don't have. So many people today are all worried about what they don't have. Oh, if I only had this, I could do such and such. You use what you do have. Don't worry about what you don't have. And what you do have, you give that sincerely and willingly to the Lord. And you see, the Lord is interested in the why we give ourselves. And that's why we read here that with perfect heart, they offered willingly. Another thing about a consecrated person is they recognize ownership. Again, this is another truth. That if we grasp this truth, we don't have a problem giving back to God. Notice in verses 11, in verse 12, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is Thine. Now, how many folks believe that? Most people don't have any problem. Yes, everything in heaven belongs to God. And most may even say, yes, everything in earth belongs to God, except what He's given me. That's mine. Everything's His. And the sooner we realize that He owns it all, the more willing we are to give. The reason we have a problem letting go is because we have not been fully convinced that it's not ours. We still think we have some ownership. But He says here that it's all His. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee. Whatever riches you have, God has given it. Therefore, you're to give it back. Whatever honor you have, God has given it. And Thou reignest over all, and in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Then notice verse 14. But who am I? You see, in verses 11 and 12, He recognizes ownership. He's already stated that He's given what he has to the building of this house of the Lord. And then he says, but whom am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. In other words, what a privilege. And that's what he's saying. Who am I that we should be so blessed that God would allow us to give back to him? And he says, everything that we have given thee is yours. In other words, we haven't given anything. It's all his anyway. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Now there's somebody that recognizes that God owns it all. And once we learn that truth, God owns it all. He owns it all. He owns every dime. He owns every penny that you and I have. We do not own any of it. That truth is critical. That truth is vital. That truth is imperative. If we are ever going to understand the things that are in our life, God has given it. He owns it all. And he deserves it all. David and the people of Israel at this time realized that. We see also, with that, learning that truth, we see a consecrated person recognizes responsibility. If God has given me everything, then I have a responsibility to God. Then I have an accountability to God. If God has given me my health, if God has given me every material possession that I have, and if God has given me every blessing that I have, and he has, then I have a responsibility. And it certainly isn't to give God what's left over. He says, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee, a house for thine own holy name, cometh of thine hand, and it is all thine. He's recognizing responsibility. A consecrated person recognizes responsibility. Also, a consecrated person will offer what they have, including themselves, with thanksgiving and with praise. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And then we've already read verse 14. You see, the people were so thankful that they were able to give back to God. We ought to be so thankful tonight that God gives us an opportunity to set ourselves apart for the Lord, to live entirely for him, that God would give you and I the opportunity to live only for him. What a blessing. What a blessing. That God has given me the opportunity to live entirely for him. And we ought to do so. We ought to offer everything we have. We ought to do so with praise and thanksgiving. And then lastly, in verse 15, a consecrated person will offer willingly, sincerely, their entire life, their entire person, knowing that we have but limited amount of time. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Our lives are short. Our lives can end at any time. Without notice, without warning. We all know, we all accept that we have an appointed time. But none of us know how many days we have. None of us know how many hours we have. I know this, I have less than I did when this service began. And so do you. We all have less. And if we live another day, that's one day less we have. And we need to realize in the short life that we have, not for man, for the Lord. It's all for Him. And that's how we're to live our lives. And I believe the person that is fully consecrated, this person is willing to give their lives for the Lord, they're the happiest people amongst God's people. There's joy in serving the Lord. You're not going to miss out obeying God. You're not going to come out on the short end. You're not going to miss out on something because you're surrendered to the Lord. What are you afraid of missing? What is it that we're so afraid that we might miss in this world? If you and I only had, if we had the slightest inclination of what we miss when we don't give it all to Him, when we're not fully set apart and fully reserved for the Lord, we need to consecrate ourselves, reserve ourselves for the Lord. Young people, reserve yourself for God. Don't do something that is going to scar your life and hinder you in the service of God. Consecrate yourself. Reserve yourself for the Lord. And remember, it's for Him. Not for man, but for the Lord. If we could only learn that one truth stated in verse 1. Not for man, but for the Lord. We come Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings. Not for man, but for the Lord. We try to obey God, not for man, but for the Lord. Husbands, you ought to be the husband you ought to be for the Lord. If you can't do it for your wife, you do it for the Lord. Wives, same thing. You be the wife that you ought to be for the Lord. You be the son, you be the daughter that you ought to be for the Lord. You be the church member that you ought to be for the Lord. You be the employee or the employer that you ought to be for the Lord. Do it all for the Lord. You see, it just doesn't work to say, well, I would do such and such, but she or but he, you just don't know how they are. Do it for the Lord. Not for man, but for the Lord. Oh, that we would learn that tonight, and that we would be willing to consecrate ourselves, that we would be willing to give our all to Him, to give everything. Don't be satisfied with giving Him second best. Give Him the best that you have. Whatever it is, give the best that you have, and do so willingly, sincerely, and see if the Lord will not fill your heart with joy. Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.